Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. And now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Jennifer Chen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Carolyn, and welcome, everyone, to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Jennifer Chen, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and early next week, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. You may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenter is Gabriel Mogos. Gabe has been working for many years in the ZOS comm server area. He has worked as an IT consultant assisting customers in network design, implementation, and application development. He is now working in the ZOS comm server development support group, assisting customers in networking migration and troubleshooting. Today's topic is joining networks using extended boulder node, common problems. The webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will be open for a question-answer period. If the view is too small, under view in the browser toolbar, make sure that Make Share Area Full Screen and Fit Shared Area to Window is unchecked, or just click on Default View. If you are in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site by clicking View Presentation link, or by going to any IBM.com site and type in 7007836. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Gabe.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. Hi, everyone. My name is Gabe Mogos. I've been working on this area for a long time, so I'm not really an expert, but I'll try my best. The topic we choose today is how do you join border nodes or extended border nodes, and what are the common problems that users, customers run into when they implement their extended border node. So what we're going to do is give you a high-level overview, and then we're going to start with how do you connect two VTAMs with extended border node capability. And from there, we will go on to what are the common user problems that users face, run into. So we will walk you through from configuration, how you connect it, and how a session setup can be done and run into problem and how to avoid those problems. Okay, the next page, please. The reason why users want to use an extended board node is many of you know that these days companies get merged, one company swallows a small company, and when they do that, they want to keep your data integrity separate, but they want to allow limited interconnectivity between these two companies. From the picture, as you can see, network A, let's say, which is company A, and network B, which is company B, with all their resources, the DLUR, the MDH, the NNs, the ICNs, separate network, and on the other side, another separate network. You wanna establish a connectivity between these two different networks, companies. Another reason why customers wanna use extended board node is, they expand, they get big and big, and they wanna better management. And then they wanna split their networks into separate net IDs. They could be in two, in many geographical areas, and then their data center, they can have one data center here and then another data center over there. But it's going to be pretty hard to manage all this, so they want to separate them. And that's another main reason why you want to do an extended board node. Next page, please. Okay, so what it is, what's extended border node, or what's border node basically? You're all familiar with, you know, we came a long way from, you know, single domain to multiple domain to SNI, SNI interconnection, SNI network interconnection, and eventually the APPN. In the APPN, we have network node and N node, and we have MDH with subarea, and the ICN with the network node with subarea functionality. So basically, the extended border is built on top of NN function, network node function. It limits topology exchange. You know, within a network, within a specific unique network, topology, all network nodes know about the other nodes and the other TGs as well. If you have a big network, your topology exchange can be big one, and then it can impact performance, especially when you have, if you have a very unstable network, if the links go up and down, they constantly generate topology updates, and then that can impact performance. So with EBN, you eliminate that. The topology exchange is very limited, but still it allows directory flows. You know, you can send a locate or via extended border node, and you can find resources. You can use dynamic search or system definition control search, like in the subarea or in the SNI environment. It needs both sides of links, intercluster, TG on both sides. We will see that in the next pages, but, you know, the links on both sides are required. They need to support the extended border node on both sides. If you have an EBN, extended border node on this side, and then non-EBN on the other side, then the connection is not said to be extended border node connection. We will see that later. So it's required when network nodes have different net IDs. If you have a BN, is equal to yes, which means border node is enabled, and then the net IDs are different. It just defaults to an extended border node. Page 4 now. Okay, what can EBN do? Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking about EBN, extended border node. So what can we do with it? Usually, customers who have SNI configuration are very good candidates to use extended border node, because that's the next step when you migrate from a pure subarea to an APPN environment. So it does create clusters, meaning different subnets or different networks. It uses the same net ID, but TG defines it as native node. This, we will see that, but if you have the same net ID and then you want to do cluster, you need to use the native parameter, and then the native has to be a no. If you have different net IDs, it's by default, it's, you know, it's extended border node. Another thing which is good is with extended border node, you can attach an N node that has a different net ID. It will simply look as if it's the same net ID. It's usually the network node server is the NN, is a network node, and with EBN does not change. You will have that functionality, so you don't have to worry about having two different net IDs. The search can be is cached, meaning you can you can do dynamics, or you can fully qualified. I mean, you can define resources fully qualified using the net ID and then the CP name, and then that can speed the searching. We'll see that later, maybe. I do have one example. Okay, the next page, please. Continuing on what EBN can do for you is, like I said, it can run parallel with SNI, and until you fully feel comfortable and eliminate the SNI environment and go to the extended burner node connectivity. So you can run them side by side, but you have to be very careful when you do that. You want to make sure that your search order is coded correctly. You will need adjacent cluster, and then the you know, the old sub area definition is going to remain the same, but you're going to have to tweak a little bit about how the S order is implemented, because you want to search the sub area and the APPN as well. Mostly customers not knowing that VTAN is 2 blocks, you know, it's sub area and the APPN. Unless you tell it to, it doesn't know. It will only do sub area unless you tell it to do APPN as well. So customers migrating from pure sub area to APPN fail to realize that, and then they run into some such and setup problems. So basically, you can run them parallel, and then you can shut it once you test the extended burner node connectivity. You can use the directory services management exit to control searches, order, you know, reorder your adjacent cluster table. I do have, I think I mentioned it later, but that's what ABN can do for you. Okay, next page, please. Okay, we are on page 6 now. So we've been talking about what you can do, what extended burner node can do for you, and what roles does EBN play in the network. You know, you can have many of them. Some of them, they can be an entry burner node, and some of them can be an exit burner node. It depends on the session setup path. The entry burner node is when it receives a search request from another burner node, extended burner node, from a non-native APPN. And then it's going to act as the OLU because because the network is divided. If you have a session going from one network to another network, crossing an extended burner node, it will stop at the exit, and then at the entry, it's going to act as an OLU because, you know, at the entry burner node, he doesn't know the topology where he came from. The entry burner node will act as the NNS OLU for non-native resources. The exit burner node is you are in a subnet, and then you want to send the locate to a non-native, and then the last burner node is going to be your exit. It's going to send the session request on adjacent non-native APPN, and then it's going to act as the NNS DLU for that non-native resources. Okay, next page, please. Okay, the origin burner node is the origin of the session request. If you have resources connected to a burner node, you know, that's going to be the OLU subnet, basically the first burner node given control over searching. That's where you start your searching. The pure burner nodes are burner nodes residing in the same subnet. Basically, you are in the same subnet, and then you have other pure burner nodes that you can, you can talk to. Okay, next page. Now we learned a little bit about the high-level concepts and why we want to do an extended burner node and what we can, what can it do for us. And how do we do it? Basically, when you configure something, you have to know the parameters. If you take simply the default, you may not get what you want. But these are the most important. Actually, these are the only ones that you have to know them when you are ready to do extended burner implementation. The BN is equal to yes. Is the BN is you can say no or yes. If you say yes, then you get the support. The BN dime is you control for searching. The BN order is your search order control again. The maximum, the SNA VC is SNA VC, the SNVC rather, is for subnet count control. If your searching is going across multiple subnets, you want to use that count. You don't want to, if you make it too short, you may not reach your destination. So you have to count your extended borders that you will go through. So you need to code it appropriately. The native is only valid if BN is equal to yes, and then you have to use it if you have the same net ID, but you want to use a subnet. You want to divide your network. You want to keep the net ID is the same, but if you use native is equal to no on the adjacent CPU or on the PU statement, and the switched major node, and then you can enable a subnet. You are enabling a boundary, an extended buffer node between these two nodes connecting to each other. The adjacent cluster, again, this is where you define your table, similar to the adjacent SSCP table in the pure server environment, and this is only valid if BN is equal to yes. So you use that to define your crossnet or your extended border node names in that table. You can use the default. You can specify using net IDs and all that. Okay, the next page, please. This is the EBN dynamics. I'm not going to go through all this. This is just for you to just read it. You can use the Vita manuals to get detailed information. I just have it just for your information. The next page, please. The same thing here. It talks about, what you can specify and all that and what it does. Okay, next page, please. Okay, this, how does VTAM build a subnet routing list? This is what the adjacent, you define an adjacent cluster. You can predefine them or you can allow dynamics to take place. And when you do that, VTAM will build a subnet routing list. So the subnet routing list, what it does is it just determines where to send across subnet locate requests. It can include nodes in native and non-native subnets. The nodes are added to the list according to BN dyne. The BN dyne will control that, how they build. And the BN order prioritized on how the subnet routing list is built. Again, the DSME, the Directory Services Management exit, can be used for modifying. You can reorder it by, every time you want to do some search LU resource outside this network, you want to call the exit, and the exit will, based on the information you pass it to it, it can reorder the subnet routing list for you. Okay, next page, please. I've used this information on my test system. This is to give you the external information on, what you, when you do implement an extended border node, what do you see? How does it look like? Have I done it correctly? So you want to verify for yourself. So this example is we have different net IDs, and we have BN is equal to yes, and the node type is NN, and then that's all we need for implementing extended border node. So we will connect these two VTAMs. Okay, next page, please. Similarly, we have the same net ID. The BN is equal to yes, the node type is NN. But here, we have to define, we have to use a native parameter if we want to use extended border node between the two VTANs. So the native keyword can be coded on your adjacent CP, or you can define it in your switched major node for that, for, you know, for the remote PU. You do that, and then you're going to get an extended border node. Keep in mind that customers do run into problem not properly using the native. You know, if you code a native on one side, you have to code the native on the other side. So you have to be very consistent. If you have to use more than two VTANs and you want to use the native, so again, you have to be very careful when you use that. For example, if you have VTAN B is non-native to VTAN C, and VTAN C is non-native to VTAN A, then VTAN B must be non-native to VTAN A. So unless you are consistent, you may run into problems. We have seen that in customer reported problems. Okay, next page, please. Okay, now you configured your VTANs as, you connected your VTANs as extended border nodes, and how do you determine that? How do you verify that that's, you know, what you did? So you want to see that. The commands that becomes handy to you are like, you can do a DNet TURPO, you can do a DNet ADJCP, you can do a DNet VTAN with OPTS, or you can do DNet adjacent cluster. You can use this depending on exactly what you're looking for. But this command can give you information, the needed information about your connectivity to verify if extended border node is enabled. So next page, please. Okay, the first command that I am trying to show you is, if you do a DNet TURPO, you remember in the example we said we're going to connect SSCP1A and then SSCP2A? So my display is done on SSCP1A. I could do the same from SSCP2A, but the information would be the same. So all my displays are from one VTAN. And the display can be for this VTAN or the VTAN I'm connected to. So when I display about my VTAN, I see his CP name is SSCP1A. And then the native is, yes, yeah, he's native. I mean, he's in my network. And his connectivity, the TGs that go from my network to other networks, there are two of them. The first one, the CP name, the destination CP is NetA-SSCP-VN. And then the TG type is intermediate. And then another one is NetB SSCP2A. Note that the NetB is a different net ID, and the TG type is intercluster. By doing that, I know this is another extended border node. So this information tells me that I have one extended border node connection. Next page, please. Topology display is, I'm doing it again from SSCP1A. I'm doing this for the displays for SSCP2A. Okay, I did display topo for SSCP1A. The CP name is NetB SSCP1A. And see the native. The native is no in this case, because I have information about the other node, but he is not native to me. He is not native. If you see the bottom in red, we say that topology exchange is not allowed or limited. I don't know. All I know is about the node, you know, the information about the node. I don't know anything about the links that he is connected to. the SSCP2A might be connected to other nodes in his network, but I have no knowledge. I don't have information about him. So that's the way to limit topology exchange. Okay, next page. Okay, this is the same, but this display is exactly the same, but the net ID is the same, and the native null parameter was used when I connected the two VFAMs. So basically, the information is the same. Okay, the next page, please. Okay, the next page. Okay, so the DNA topo summary can show you. I do have the. If you see the BN on the left, on the far right page, on the far right, the BN is equal to 2. It's just a count. I have 2 border nodes on my database. The next page, please. Okay, this is if you do a DNS ADJCP to see what the other network look like. All I want to show you is the native is no, so he's not native. Okay, the next page, please. Okay, this if you do a DNS VTOMO PTS, if you want to know how the extended border node parameters were defined, you can see them by doing that. The BN is equal to yes, BN order priority, BN dyne is equal to limited, SNAVC is 3. Okay, next page, please. Adjacent cluster table, again, this is to see, how your adjacent cluster table look like. Basically, your subnet routing list is basically what it is. And then you have SSCP-1A and then SSCP-2A in there. Okay, next page, please. Now, we've seen how to configure it. How do you define it? Now we know how two VTAMs can be hooked up using extended border node. Okay, the next is, how does the session flow between extended border nodes and what can be the problems, the common problems. So most of the time, I have been in this business for a long time, debugging problems, troubleshooting. And most of the time, the problem is locate, not being able to get to my destination. For some reason, the locate flows or it goes around and around, and we get all kinds of locate flows. The bind rarely. The send receive, there are problems if there is a congestion problem. It's very minimal. So most of the problem lies in how to locate resources in an extended border node environment. Okay, next page, please. Okay, the search problems, if we know where the destination LU resides, we can probably minimize, the effort to troubleshoot the problem. Is it in a APPN, peer APPN environment? Does it go through an extended border node to get to it? Is it on a cross-net or SNI peer sub-area environment? So these kinds of information are very important to know. You have to have the total picture of your session path. Where is it going? From where to where, basically, and then through what? Is it going through an extended border node, 1 or 2 hubs or 3 hubs? And then you can have like a mix in between sub-area from sub-area to APPN, then back to sub-area. So that can be very complicated. Okay, next page, please. Usually, you don't have to define it, but defining resources can, make life easier. It can expedite the locate flow, the search. You'll have more control. So you can define it with using the net ID and CP name, or is it find via successful search? You can find it. When VTAM finds resources via trial and error, he will add an entry qualified by HTTP name, and then it's network node server. So in the AB, in the extended burner node environment, it will assume the NNS ownership of for alias found through them, because you know the network is divided. If I am going from subnet A to subnet B, the exit burner node from subnet A to go to subnet B will act as a surrogate NNS for all alias that are found via this node. Okay, next page, please. Okay, this is the most error-prone problem. I mean, usually customers don't realize that if you do a BNDyn is equals none, that means you're going to have to define your network, your adjacent subnets in your adjacent cluster table. It never dynamically adds any BN or adjacent non-native to the routing list. You have if you decide to use BNDyn is equal to none, you need to define all the known, all the subnets that you want to go to, including this subnet, including this CP name. So you're going to have to be very careful with that. And I'll show you an example in the following page. Okay, next page, please. The customer, I did this testing on my machine, but usually what happened is if BNDyn is equal to none, you know, the session fails with 0847007. You may have like multiple entries. You may go through the list, but the one that is supposed to go is not in the list, so he can't go to that destination. So it fails. So if you see this kind of problem, the first thing to do is do a DNS ADJ class. And in this case, I don't have anything. I didn't find anything. But in your case, you may have defined the Thompson. And see if that net ID where this LU is intended to go is listed in there. And then the next thing that you can do is display the VTOM options, star options, and see if BNDyn is equal to none. You can easily verify that the session is failing because you don't have the destination CP name added to the subnet routing list. Okay, next page, please. Okay, it's the same scenario, but in the previous one the failure was alias. I mean, I didn't use the net ID, and then it was not predefined. That means in the LU host, I didn't find the destination LU. In this example, he is defined. I predefined him, but still he failed. Like it's shown, the DLU is net B, net Apple 1. He's real. But in my table, I don't have anything under net B. So he this time cannot routed. So in my subnet routing list, I need to add an entry. And the following example will show that. Okay, next page, please. Okay, and in fact, it does. The definition needs to be reorganized. The first default is for all destinations that don't have net ID in them. For aliases. And the next can be for specific net B, specific net ID. In fact, I should have added another entry for net A to indicate that for SSCP 1A. One for net B, SSCP 2A under net B, and one for net A, SSCP 1A under net ID equals net A. So keep in mind that you need to add the CP name of VTAM if the the extended Bernard node is the origin Bernard node of the session, or an entry Bernard node for the session. Like when you initiate a session, first thing BTM does is either way on an S order, basically either to go Cyber or APPN, he's going to look in his database and he finds him, he may send a locate verify. If he doesn't find him, he's going to send a locate. So he's going to start searching. So if you don't add the entry or the origin, Bernard node CP name in your subnet routing list, he's not going to search this, his subnet. He will, if you have bind, BN9 is equal to none. That's what I'm referring to. So he will not that, because you're telling him do not search unless it's defined. If you say BN9 is equal to none, you should have the entry for that CP name in your subnet routing list. This is very important. A lot of problems we see are because of this type of problem. Okay, next page, please. This is just to show you the, once I defined my ADJ class, cluster table, I activated it, and you can see the type is defined. In the previous foils I showed you, it was all dynamic. This is because BN9 is equal to none. So they all show as defined. The bottom is that it shows, the session has succeeded as soon as I enabled an adjacent cluster table. Okay, next page, please. Okay, subnet routing list, this is just an example, how is it built? You have a NetB adjacent table. The BN3 is an example of how BN3 is building the subnet routing list. So this is just an example to show you how the table is built, depending on the bind. BN9 is equal to coded. If it's none, that means it's all defined, and then what you get is what you define it. If it's limited, based on search requests, on successful ones, and BTM intuitively learns about external border nodes, and then it adds on top of what it's defined. And then if bind is equal to full, it just simply adds all known searchable nodes. Okay, next page, please. Another killer on locate problems is the S-order adjacent SSCP. Especially when you migrate from a pure subarea to an APPN environment, you want to keep the S-order adjacent SSCP table. Unless you know exactly what you're doing, you don't want to simply say APPN first or APPN. You want to, when you migrate, you want to migrate slowly and carefully. One time I was working on weekends, a customer was implementing, migrated from peer server to APPN, and they called on Sunday, it's a severity one problem, and he completely shut down all his applications. He can't get to his applications at all, and the system was dead. And when I worked with them, and then I said, okay, you implemented APPN. What do you have for S order, adjacent SSCP? Okay, tell me what's in the adjacent SSCP table. And he read me the adjacent SSCP table, and the ISD APNCP was not there. And then we added that, and everything went fine. I mean, and then they got their system back up. So S order, adjacent SSCP, you need the ISD APNCP, or you can use APPN first, and you can use once you are in the table, you can override the S order basically, depending on the network. If your net B is all APPN, you want to go APPN, or if your net C is all subarea, You want to go Siberia first. Okay, next page, please. Okay, this is an example that shows NATCODEN, the ISC APN in the adjacent SSCP table. This is a DLER DLES problem, and as you can see, the adjacent SSCP tribe was only one VTAM, and this was this VTAM. The DLER was an EAN, and then this VTAM was a server, so all he did was search this VTAM, and that's it. Okay, next page, please. Okay, so actually, customer has multiple entries. I just cut them down. He has coded the ISC APNCP somewhere in the line, you know, under NetB, but still it didn't work. The reason why is because you have SSCP-1A, CD-ROM entry, you tell him, VTAM is telling it, oh, okay, here's the owning CD-ROM, and then you just go to it. So VTAM did what it was told to do, and he only searched that, he didn't search APPN. So by adding that ISC APNCP under that CD-ROM statement will fix the problem. Okay, next page, please. Okay, charts. Oh, this slide is showing you, this is the basic SNI to AVN migration. Usually, there are companies that still want to run the Pure Siberia, the SNI environment, but you want access to them. In this kind of configuration, the problems that you can run into are, getting access to the SNI network. And in the next example, I will show you what you can do. Okay, next page, please. Okay, in this kind of environment, you can define your resources that are in SNI in the following way. You know, you tell it the CP name. The adjacent extended burner node is going to act the network node server for all SNI resources found through it, you know. So you want to tell the other VTAMs, okay, to get to the SNI owner resources, you can go to this VTAM, and then you can find him through Siberia. The Siberia IS will tell it to such a Siberia site, and then the locate will flow over to the SNI side of the network. Okay, next page, please. Okay, this is this is from Jonathan Hartzell's presentation. These are the limitations because the extended burner node does not live with peripheral boundary well, so you have to be very careful how you implement it. As you can see from the picture, if you have peripheral boundary, it has to be the last or the first in the session path. So you cannot go from extended burner node to peripheral boundary to another peripheral boundary and then to another extended burner node. This will create all kinds of problems, especially search, locate, loop problems. He will go around because of invalid configurations. So this is one limitation that you need to be careful about. Okay, next page, please. This is one example where search and loop can happen. You have two, NetA and NetB, and then you have BN2 and BN1, and then BN1 has two accesses to NN3 and NN2. The NetC is supposed to be peripheral boundary because there is no border node enabled for NetC. So that's invalid. Or it can cause searching problems or other unpredictable problems. The next page, please. Okay, this is another example. Again, you have NetA and NetB. The connectivity, the way to access from BN is you can go to BN1 and then to NN3, or you can go from BN1 to NN3. This kind of configuration can again cause some problems, because when customers run into problems with some link goes down, they just quickly enable one link to get the session up and running, but that link again is not is invalid. I mean, it cannot produce what the intention is. But these kinds of configurations can create certain problems, and it's pretty painful when you chase a locate, because you're going to have to jump from VTAM to another VTAM. You're going to have to take all kinds of DACs in all the affected areas. So that can be a really nightmare and very time-consuming and pretty complicated. So by being careful when you configure your network, that can eliminate, you know, those problems. The next page, I think that's all I have. The next page, please, Jennifer. Okay, this is a WebSphere product resources that we do have. You can take a look at it. You can actually, there's an internet link. You can access over the internet and see if you can find some useful information. I'm done for today, and I'm going to turn over this to Jennifer.
Okay, thank you again for a great presentation. At this point, Carolyn, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we'll go first to Carol Stinson. Hi. We've been implementing a couple of these, converting our SNIs over to EBA and other companies. And lately, we've been seeing some CP2CP, failures. We've been getting the pass switch failures, and our CP2CP session doesn't recover. Now, our partners, they seem to code the redial and the ready delay and the DWNOP. We haven't been doing that. We've been using StatMon to recover. Would you think that would be why our CP2CP session isn't recovering on its own?
Is this an enterprise extender kind of connectivity? When the CP2CP session goes down, usually what it does is it recycles the PU. You know, the PU goes, he recovers, and then there is a DW act is equal to yes. That you can put in your PU statement, and when the PU recycle it, he will kick off another very dial internally, the redial, and I think the redial, there are a couple of parameters that can help you to, you know, keep redial. And usually I think the redial forever is I've seen some customers use it because for some reason the CP2CP session can go down. Usually it's a link problem. I mean, something went down in the link, and then it will redrive the recovery process as long as, the DLC, the infrastructure is fine. You should have your CP2CP session back up. But if the CP2CP sessions goes down and then your link is still active, those parameters should help.
Okay. Because now I've read somewhere in the IBM documentation where the redial, the forever parameter could cause a lot of overhead in your network, and not to use the forever.
It can cause forever, but, if your network is not stable, usually if your network is stable, you don't have to do that. I mean, once you set up your CP2CP session, it's supposed to remain active. I mean, it should stay up all the time.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And once again, if you do have a question, please press *1. And we have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Caroline. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the WhatSphere Support Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Gabe, for presenting today. Have a great day, everyone.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that does conclude today's presentation. Thank you, everyone, for your participation.